gentlemen, our national anthem.
Round, see our lounge.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Pride Lewis Symphony Round Zero Lounge.
Right on, Jared, right on. Hey, Jared's our new soundman. Give him a round of applause tonight. David is leaving us, so give him a round of applause for how long have you been doing the Ground Zero Lounge? You've been doing a while, haven't you? 2 years. You've been doing it 2 years. David's done 2 years. Give him a hand. 2 years is a lot for the Ground Zero Lounge. I'll tell you what. Tonight is I'm really excited to tell you about a few things. Every time I come to the microphone every week, I'm very excited to talk about a few things. One is ZeroPointRadio.com, the very well-established network on the internet that is broadcasting these shows. They're broadcasting them in real time. You just got to go to ZeroPointRadio.com and give a listen. We're not just Ground Zero now. We have Exopolitics with Alfred Weber, who's going to be appearing at Mount Adams during their UFO festival is going to be going on there. He's going to be up there at Mount Adams. If you want to go up there around July 4th time, he'll be there. We've also got James Evan Pilato with Media Monarchy. We have, yeah, a lot of people like that show. Great show. And we have also Project Camelot, which just went live with the American Freedom Network. Yeah, a lot of people like Project Camelot, too. And we're trying to get more shows. In fact, just tonight, I don't know if the Corbett Report's going to be on, but I just heard the Corbett Report. It's something that James has linked to on his website, MediaMonarchy.com. They had an extensive report on Operation Blackjack. And when I appeared on Media Monarchy with James Evan Pilato, I actually did an interview with him, and that made it on the Corbett Report. And, of course, it was mentioned that it was one of the more fascinating interviews about Blackjack, and the interview itself went viral, and last week we had a lot of people in the audience who heard that interview that came to see the Ground Zero Lounge. We hope we continue that momentum, and we hope that you spread the word about ZeroPointRadio.com because it's important that you listen. If you're working on your computer, give it a listen. If you're wanting to chat with people who are of like minds, go to the GroundZeroMedia.org website. We have the chat room right there. If you can't find it on K-Rocks or on radio, Zero Point Radio, you need to go and participate because the more we generate, the more we become well aware of what's going on. And we want to create a network that doesn't have to stoop below the Hatriot movement is what I call it. Now, we have Patriot movements. We got truth movements. We got all those things that are working together to try and reveal the truth. However, there are a lot of groups out there, too, that I call the Hatriot movements that we need to avoid because they're going to start cracking down on people like that. I mean, we can get things done. We can get the revolution done without being a hate group. And I exposed last week. Many people have also talked about the show last week from the Ground Zero Lounge about the origins of Barack Obama, the 9/11 truth movement, and what is known as the birther movement. And we expose that the mainstream media is lying in order to make all of you who want to investigate things, make all of you look like white supremacists, make all of you look like a bunch of fools. And you're not fools. You just want to know the truth. And it's not about believing here. It's not about whether or not you believe in something. It's about whether or not you want to find out what's really going on. And that's why we have this here. We'd also like to thank Dante's. Give them a round of applause. You've kept coming in, and we're here. And as I said, David's been here 2 years. We got Jared now running the show. We have Bill Coons videotaping tonight. Give him a round of applause for coming out. These videos end up on Vio. They end up on Blip TV. And they end up on EL4 TV with, once again, ZeroPointRadio.com. The Ground Zero Lounge is an open forum of people who want to speak their minds. We have two microphones, one microphone over here, one microphone over here. If you, last week it was a barn burner. We had people yelling at each other from each side of the room. We want to maintain a little bit of decency and order, so I don't take well to hecklers. I want people to come up, and I want people to speak. And don't be afraid to speak if you feel it's going to contribute to the show, or if there's some point that I'm not making that you think needs to be brought up. It's important that we hear these things and discuss these things together, because that's why we're here at the Ground Zero Lounge. So, without further ado, I want to talk about the show tonight. I entitled this program Lunatic Cringe, and there's a reason for this, is because I'm really, really getting quite frightened about what I'm hearing coming out of NASA, quite frightened about what I'm hearing coming out of North Korea, what I'm hearing about a number of things about missiles that may be firing. I was reading an article that perhaps even though we may be worried about Japan or maybe worried about Hawaii getting hit by a nuke, they don't have to hit us with a nuke to make their point. They can actually blow something up some 500 miles out in space and the radiation come down and knock out power to a certain region for a long period of time. And it's because weapons now are more advanced. And you know, you don't have to have a nuke up in space to do some damage. And I'm going to be pointing that out tonight with this topic tonight called Lunatic Cringe, kind of about space weaponry, kind of about a number of things, but a whole lot about the reality of NASA and how they want to blow up the moon. Not entirely, just a piece of it. They want to make a point. See, when I was a kid, there was a television program called Space 1999. Anybody watch Space 1999 by applause? Anyone? Few people? Space 1999, Martin Landau, Barbara Bain. They did this show. It was about the moon. Moon Base Alpha was the name of the moon base, and it was basically where they stored all of the nuclear waste on the planet, on planet Earth. They moved it all to the moon. And what happened was an unbelievable explosion happened that basically sent the moon out of orbit from the Earth. And it basically turned the moon into a huge spaceship, and they were flying uncontrolled into time warps, space warps, all kinds of crazy stuff. It was a great show. I enjoyed it, and a lot of great British actors like Peter Cushing, who was in Star Wars. Also, David Prowse was in it, who also played Darth Vader in Star Wars. It started the careers of a lot of these science fiction people into space shows. I mean, most of these people were in horror films. Peter Cushing and Prowse, to name a few. But then they moved into the sci-fi realms, and that's why you're starting to see, well, you see people like Christopher Lee as well, who was on that program. So a lot of great people on Space 1999, and the idea of something happening to a moon base in space. But Isaac Asimov, who's also one of my favorite science fiction writers, basically said that any explosion that's capable of knocking the moon out of orbit would actually blow it apart. And even if it did leave orbit, it would probably take hundreds, if not just hundreds of years to reach the nearest star. And so what he was trying to do literally is he was trying to debunk the possibility of an explosion knocking the moon out of orbit. However, at the time of the television show and at the time Asimov made his comments, a lot of people didn't know about a little secret plan back in the 1950s to nuke the moon. It was a top secret idea to basically send a nuke to the moon and blow it up to send a message to the Russians. Now, what this program was called is it was basically in cooperation with ex-Nazi scientists who we basically brought over from World War II to give us our rocket programs, Wernher von Braun and others, during Operation Paperclip. Ex-Nazi scientists and the U.S. Air Force developed a top-secret plan to detonate a nuclear bomb on the moon as a display of military might during the Cold War. The project was called A-119. Now, the explosion was to be conducted on the far side of the moon. The bomb was planned to be detonated on the edge of the moon so that the mushroom cloud would be illuminated by the sun. The bomb, excuse me, the bomb was supposed to be at least as large as the one used on Hiroshima in World War II. So they were going to go and they were going to bomb the moon with a nuke, and this was their plan, but somehow The detonation was just a PR exercise. It's one-upmanship against the Soviet Union, and the Air Force wanted a mushroom cloud so large it would be visible on Earth. The U.S. was actually lagging behind in the space race, as you well know, and so that's why they wanted to do it. Just say, Russia, back off. We don't want you in space. We don't want little satellites or moons flying above in our atmosphere. Go ahead.
What a lot of, even though they didn't set off the one on the moon, what a lot of people don't know is they actually in the late 50s did blow up a couple of nukes in the upper atmosphere in space.
Okay.
And they've added extra, you know, radiation belts up there and everything else. So they
fortified the Van Allen belt.
Exactly. But okay. They actually did blow nukes up in space.
Okay.
In the 50s.
So they did upper air tests, open air tests. Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Bob, for that. Yeah, the open air tests in the 1950s, just to see if they can. And they continue to do this stuff just to show their might. They're trying to show off to the communists. Well, it's kind of a bozo-like move to do such a thing. And no one really knows why the project was scrapped. However, it paved the way for a program devised called Project Thor. Tonight I'm wearing my Thor's hammer. No, I'm not a white supremacist, but I'm wearing it because I just wanted people to know. The Project Thor was another secret proposal that would turn space into a militarized battleground. People were always worried about the war in heaven. Well, the war in heaven can happen, and it will happen. It's all probably ready to go up there above us right now, and that's why we see a lot of strange UFOs and things, and we'll talk about that in just a little while. But in the meantime, Project Thor, of course, for those of you who don't know who Thor is, Thor was a Norse god who used his hammer to hurl shards of metal down from heaven, and lightning and thunder and all kinds of stuff. You've heard of Thor's hammer. Well, that's exactly what they were wanting to do with Project Thor. Project Thor, basically summed up, is an orbiting tungsten telephone pole with small fins and a computer in the back for guidance. Once given the launch command, a satellite would drop the pole, which would then speed up until going at about orbital velocity around 10 miles per second. And at this speed, when it hit a ground-based target, it would have the explosive equivalent of a small-yield nuclear weapon. It would also have great penetrating power because of its long, thin profile. So you throw something down that fast, about twice the speed of a bullet, it'll go into the ground, cause some damage like a low-yield nuclear weapon, and that's what they were counting on with Project Thor. This program was the first example of what we now call kinetic bombardment, using dense objects traveling at very high speeds to eliminate targets without the need of explosives. No need for nuclear bombs. The force would be similar on a smaller scale to that of a comet or meteor or impact on a planet. How convenient is it that if something falls out of the sky and destroys a target, we can say, well, it was probably just a meteor. Probably just a meteor because, you know, we don't have anything up in space, right? Nothing that's going to harm anybody, right? So that's the thing. A program along the same lines in the early 80s was called the Rods from God. I think it was also called, the Rods from God. How's that for a sexual connotation? The Rods from God, and I think it was also called Operation Brilliant Pebbles, or Brilliant, I think, yeah. I don't remember the term, but I think it was called Operation Brilliant Pebbles. It was called Rods from God. Basically, same principles as Thor. We would basically drop something from the air fast enough to ram into the ground. The rods were 1 foot thick, 20 feet long, were able to hit almost any target within 15 minutes. Give the command 15 minutes, the target's obliterated. Dropping from space. You've heard of those robust bunker bombs or whatever they're called, the robust nuclear earth penetrators, where the enemy is below all this concrete, and they're able to drop something so fast that it goes through the concrete and basically takes out the target. That's exactly what these are. They're kinetic weapons. They're bunker busters, exactly. The bunker buster bombs. The method of dropping a kinetic weapon from satellites was referred to as the Rods from God, comprised of tandem satellites, one serving as a communications platform, the other carrying an indeterminate number of tungsten rods, each up to about 20 feet in length, 1 foot in diameter. They would drop the same matter as the Thor project, slamming through space and exploding underground. You saw some of these things in action during the Bush administration when they were trying to go after those people who were bunkered down in the Middle East. You see some of those things falling from the sky. They're pretty threatening. It's been theorized that this program still exists and it's high above us in space. Space platforms carrying these tungsten rods are above us right now. Now, here's the deal. We've all been told that there are no nukes in space. Well, probably there aren't any nukes in space. However, there are nuclear-powered satellites and nuclear-powered engines in space. However, there is nothing in your treaty that says you can't put something up there as harmless as a tungsten pole with a computer on it hanging from a satellite. So what we're talking about here is Well, having nuclear weapons in space is against all the treaties. Having just rods in space really doesn't matter, does it? Because they can't do anything. They can't blow up and kill anybody. But if you drop them fast enough, they can take out a target down on the ground. Okay? So, the idea that the space weaponry doesn't exist and that it's not up there kind of sounds a little less believable now, does it? We can have these rods up in space. And another reason why I have a feeling that NASA is lying with regards to space weaponry is because we see a lot of UFOs lately that resemble platforms and cylindrical objects that come down out of space. A lot of the UFOs now are platforms. They're cylindrical. Many of them are triangles. They look military. And the reason why is because I think we are seeing the efforts of these space weapons and how they're being used. So, you know, pay attention to your next UFO report, because many of the UFOs appear to be cylindrical, like kinetic projectiles, and they could very well be kinetic projectiles. We're hearing a lot about NEOs falling out of space, too. And, of course, we talked about Gary McKinnon a while back, where he happened to hack into a series of computers in the Pentagon, NASA, and other sensitive military locations. McKinnon claimed that he was seeking information on UFOs and says he found files dealing with non-terrestrial officers and fleet-to-fleet transfers involving ships that were not in any U.S. registry. In fact, they were going to have to extradite him to the United States and probably try him under the Patriot Act, which would make him a terrorist because he hacked into NASA's secret files about UFOs. And this is what he found. Platforms in space with crews that are up there conducting some sort of a paramilitary exercise. Story makes us wonder if we are being told everything about what is going on above us. The McKinnon story is just one of the many that provides circumstantial evidence that points to the possibility that there are secret weapons and stations above us in space. There are other interesting things to consider as well. And one of those things is we talked about a long time ago here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Do you remember back in February of 2008, and I remember this well because I was in a condo recovering from my cancer surgeries, the United States government was saying that there was a dead satellite in space. How many remember this story by applause? A few people. The United States said they had this satellite that was dead in space and they had to bring it down, okay? Now, a lot of military personnel said it's unnecessary to shoot this thing down. Why would you want to shoot it down? It'll burn up on entry. Well, then the Air Force came along and said, well, we need to shoot it down because we're afraid that hydrazine is going to be released over an area, over a city, a populated area. And so they decided that, you know, they would shoot it down regardless of whether or not it would burn up upon reentering the atmosphere. But the thing is that while military people are saying it should be fine burning up an atmosphere, there are things that don't burn up very well in the atmosphere. Tungsten rods, okay? They put tungsten rods on that satellite, and that satellite was dead. It was going to come down. Those tungsten rods going as fast as a bullet would take out a city. So they had to blow those up. Now, that's just speculation on my part, but you take a look at tungsten. Of all the metals, it has the highest melting point, lowest vapor pressure, and the highest tensile strength. Tungsten has the lowest coefficient of the thermal expansion of any pure metal. And that means that tungsten rods don't burn up speeding through the Earth's atmosphere. So they had to shoot that satellite down if it was carrying those rods. And we don't want people to know that we have tungsten rods. At the time, shooting down the satellite was suspect. And the military said that they needed to eliminate the possibility of hydrazine. Well, that had China and Russia wondering, well, why are we firing this big missile at this little satellite? And so they were concerned about whether or not we were violating treaties by firing that missile from a Hawaiian, from a battleship, a cruiser in Hawaii. And so they were wondering if maybe the Pentagon was doing a weapons test at the time. In a January 2, 2009 article, Barack Obama was having some interesting meetings with NASA on the subject of space with the Chinese government. The meeting dealt with the use of new technology to get us into space sooner, and he was even saying, well, why can't we use our military rockets to take astronauts and put them on the moon? And he was having these secret meetings, and no one knew why all of a sudden, with all the money that we were throwing to the banks, why we were throwing more money into NASA. Well, the truth is that while once again they're saying we're planning on going back to the moon, they're using the moon again and space as a way by which to increase the military-industrial complex spending. And so they use the military weaponry to basically analyze and to test in space what they would want to test here on the ground, but they don't want to get caught doing it. So Obama spoke with NASA, needed to move more rapidly to focus the attention on the moon and Mars. And back then we were wondering, well, what's the big rush? What's that all about? Why are we rushing so fast? Well, a recent U.S. military policy decision now explicitly states that incoming space debris, bolides, and fireballs are classified secret and are not to be released to the public. It is odd that the availability of incoming fireball data should be curtailed just at the time when new near-Earth object programs were given the go-ahead for amateur astronomers to survey small space objects that are likely to be picked up in the fireball monitoring program, but it's true. Now, if anything falls out of the sky and you see it, you witness it, it's not yours anymore, it's the government's. If it falls on American territory, it's top secret, and you are not to disclose location or anything, only to the right authorities. Otherwise, you're in violation of applicable laws. They used to pay you a lot of money if you found an asteroid or a meteor or a bolide. Now, not anymore. It's top secret. You've got to make sure that you notify the right people if you see it coming down out of the sky. Just days after the decision to classify near-Earth objects as they fall out of the sky, NASA also made an announcement that they were going to go back to the moon. Not with a manned vehicle, but with two rockets. They're going to call this the LCROSS program. How many people have heard of it? By applause. One person raised their hand, one person, nobody's heard about it? Okay, well, they've already fired the rockets out in space. They did a first moonshot in a decade. Not very many people knew about it because Michael Jackson had passed away. The moonwalker is dead, but the moon rocket keeps going forward, right? People are applauding Michael Jackson's death? Wow. Hostile crowd. Okay, well, yeah. The moonwalker dies, but the moon rocket continues, and sending up a pair of unmanned science probes that will help determine where astronauts could land and colonize the planet. Now, in the years to come, NASA received over $500 million for this mission called LCROSS. It will survey and map areas of the moon, and then there's something called the Centaur rocket that will crash at twice the speed of a bullet into the moon's surface and blow out an 8-mile, or actually a 6-mile crater. And then before its demise, the shepherding spacecraft will determine if there are potential water ice particulates on the moon in the debris plume. I want to say that again. The moon debris plume. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting words? Moon debris plume. It's almost French. Moon debris plume. The moon debris plume is supposed to be 6 miles up in the sky, and we're supposed to see it with the naked eye west of the Mississippi. But they're going to slam a Centaur rocket into the ground and create a crater about 6 miles wide, which is an amazing feat. Go ahead.
Let's hope they don't punch just a hole in it.
You know, well, that's what a lot of people are worried about, and I'm going to get into that. You know, the moon has been hit by meteors many times. We do have the face on the moon to point that out and see that. But, you know, we need to, this whole thing really has me questioning a lot of stuff. First of all, the liftoff occurred without much announcement, just 1 month and 2 days shy of the 40th anniversary of the alleged first landing by the man on the moon, by the men on the moon. The LCROSS mission seems to bring up inconsistencies and also exposes a lot of lies that have been previously told about the moonshot of 1969. And I give you these just because of how I feel about the moon landing. NASA claims that the LCROSS mission is going to map out the moon for landing sites. Now, before the Apollo missions, there were orbiters sent out to map the moon, and in 1994, Clementine was launched. Okay? So they've mapped out the moon pretty extensively. So now we're going to map out the moon again for $500 million, Alex. Okay? Which doesn't make sense to me. Clementine was launched between February 26th and April 22nd, 1994. Clementine was able to deliver more than 1.8 million digital images of the moon back to the ground. 1.8 million images of the moon, and yet we have to send two probes up to do it all over again. Does that make any sense? Uh-uh. It doesn't make any sense to me why they would do that. Go ahead.
But were those 1.8 million images blurry?
What's that?
Were the 1.8...
images blurry?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they managed to get some because that's how they found out there may be water on the moon, something that we didn't see when we were up on the moon playing golf and reciting the Bible. You know, we didn't know. We, you know, You know, we're doing all kinds of science experiments up there. We didn't find any water up there. No, none.